Thank you so much.
I was handed a reminder, please, if you brought food or cakes or pans or whatever, please don't forget to take your pan home, okay? So the ladies and men out there from the crew say, please remember to bring home or take home all of your pans. Actually, I was really honored and surprised by being invited to come back here because my hunting days lately have not been of the most fruitful. In fact, tonight someone gave me a gift that is symbolic of my hunting days. And it's called a roadkill rabbit made out of chocolate and roadkill reindeer. And these are the only two animals I've gotten this year. So right now you know that it's not going to get better from here on out because my hunting days, in fact, my kid said, Dad, you used to get deer all the time. You used to come home with stuff. Since we've been going with you, how come you don't get anything anymore? I'm like, There's a simple reason and rationale for that. But tonight I do want to share with you a story, a true story, something that happened in my life a few years ago. And it was, you know, life is full of surprises, kind of neat things that happen. And I just want to talk about a neat event that happened to me a few years ago. Now, the last time I used this was actually at this church. And a lady came up to me afterward and she said, PJ, what were you doing holding that propeller up there? I don't understand what that propeller is about. Well, this is not a propeller. All right? What is this? It's a bow. This is a longbow. This is actually an authentic American Indian longbow made out of Osage orange that was given as a gift to me from an individual. And so I just brought this because I really want to tell you about a hunting event that happened in my life. An archery hunt. My dad and brother called me up a few years ago and said, Jeff, in the spring, we want you to set aside 3 days. And we're not going to tell you what it is, but 3 days and bring your bow with you. And so I set those days aside. And came time, I had no idea what was going on. I drove down to Maryland to see my brother and my dad. And they said, okay, load your bow up and get in the truck. We're taking off. And so we got in the truck and we went down and we drove all night long. And then we came to a place and I said, you know, guys, what in the world are we going to do? And he said, well, we're going wild boar hunting. And so I'd never even seen one except in pictures before. And so I'm like, man, what do you do? I mean, how does this work? And he said, well, we've got guides. The guys are going to take us. And then they got some tracks out and different things and some pictures. And the kill zone, whether you know it or not, the kill zone on a wild boar is only about that big. And I'm thinking in my mind, man, that's not a very big kill zone, just that big. And the guy that was with us, he's like, man, if you shoot to the front, nothing's going to happen because they have this, the real wild boar that are fighting all the time, they have this almost like armor plating up in their front shoulder. In fact, that night, the guy was telling us story after story about these wild boar. And I was like, this is, I've done some crazy things, you know. But walking in the woods with a bow, you know, and this guy, he was telling a story, he said, you know, just a few months ago, this guy came and he wanted to do a hunt and he got a brand new 9mm Beretta. And he was, you know, 15 clipper and he was ready and he went out there. And here a boar came and this guy emptied this 9mm in this wild boar. Emptied it in the front shoulder of this boar. The boar got him on the leg, gashed his leg. They had to take him out to the hospital. The guy that was with him finally put the thing down. And he said, we took that boar when we finally took the guy to the hospital, brought him back, you know, because, you know, they shot him for him and gave it to him. They took needle nose pliers and they pulled all 15 slugs out of that front part of that. It didn't penetrate it. It just did not go through it. And so they're telling me these stories. And you know, I was tired from the drive and everything. Didn't think that much about it. But then in the next morning, they put me out in a stand. And so I was in the stand all morning, you know, thinking. Actually, it was wonderful because I was praising the Lord. And, you know, it was a nice day out. It had rained the night before, but it was a nice day. Sun came up. But nothing was happening. I mean, You guys that know me, I can't sit still. I noticed, Pastor Doug, you're picking up some bad habits. You were shaking your leg up there just like I was. So it's killing me. I'm sitting there almost till noon and nothing happened. I see squirrels and actually saw some deer and some other things. But the only thing we could hunt was wild boar. And the guy came and he said, "How's it going?" I said, "Nothing's happened." He said, "Well, I tell you, there's a hot spot. I've seen some. I'm going to put you in a place and there'll be action. I guarantee it." So I went over with him and I'm there. And sure enough, within about half an hour, here comes about 15 boar, wild boar. And they came with about 25 yards. And I was like, you know, I haven't seen anything else. And I looked for the biggest, baddest, ugliest one that there was. And I'm like, that's the one I'm going to wait on. That's what I'm going to wait on. And it came, it never came closer than 25 yards. And they were out there kind of milling around and eating and stuff. And so I'm in my stand. And you guys all know, if you've been a hunter, you know, where's your heart at this point in time? You know, your heart's pounding. And so this boar comes, and they're starting to move away. And I think I've only got one shot, and I only had a clearing that really was only about that big because they were over in all this brush. And I had a clearing, and I kept my eye on this bluish-gray one. It was the ugliest thing that I saw there. And so I just draw back, and I'm waiting, and I let go. And when I let go, I heard this squeal. I mean, this horrible squeal, and then it just took off down through the woods, and the whole herd just ran away. And I'm like, "Oh, I got it. Good shot." And so I'm sitting there for about half an hour. You know, you need to wait a while, and so I'm waiting half an hour for this thing. And I climb down out of the stand, and I go over, and I only find a tiny little bit of blood. And then I started going down. I could see where they had taken off. I could follow their tracks because it was kind of wet, and so you could see the fresh tracks. And I'm walking along, and I see the arrow. Half of my arrow is broken off. And I'm like, "Well, that's good. Half's probably still in, and so it's pretty good." So then I'm thinking, I'm walking along, I'm tracking. I got my bow in my hand. You know, here I am, you know, the good hunter looking at these tracks and looking for blood and this and that. And I come across through my tracking for about maybe 20, 30 minutes. And it crosses my mind, you know, there's a wild boar wounded. And all I have is a bow and arrow in my hand. How bright am I? What am I doing here? And so I'm like, man, I have no idea what to do. And about that same time, the guide came back. He was on a four-wheel, and he came back. Man, I'm glad this guy's here. And so he says, "Well, what's happening? What happened?" I said, "Well, I shot one. I'm pretty sure I hit in the kill, you know, or awful close to it." And I told him all about it, and I told him, you know, this big, ugly, gray one. And he goes, "Oh, we know what that one is. He's a bad one. We've seen him before." In fact, he said, "You know, he's killed other boar. We've seen it. He is mean, nasty. He is a bad one." And the guy pulls his gun out at that point in time. So, I mean, I've been walking with a bow, and he pulls his gun out. Look, he pulls his .44 mag out, and he starts, and he's still talking to me with his .44 in his hand. And he's like, "You know, we've nicknamed this one Satan." And so he's like, "You get ahead of me and you lead on." And I'm like, "You got the pistol, I got the bow." So we start following the trail and we came to this huge mud thing. And I'm like, "What in the world?" It was just like a mess in all this mud. And he said, "What that pig did," because we were only seeing a little bit of blood and then like no blood. He said, "What that pig did is it went and rolled and wallowed in the mud to seal off the wound." And from that point on, we saw hardly any blood. And so we start tracking. We can tell where they're going. And we're tracking and tracking and tracking. We also track for about an hour. And finally, we come up to a herd. And he said, "You just wait right here." And there was this huge thicket. And he put his gun away. He got his hands and knees. And he crawled through this thicket over to where they were. And he got over there. And then he was about maybe 15 minutes or so getting there. He told me, "You just stay here and I'll go look." And then he came back and sure enough, you got him. He said, you missed You're just about 2 inches back from the kill zone, but you missed the mark. You missed the mark. And now we're going to have to, he said, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take you and place you way down here. It'll take us a good while for you to get there, and I want you to wait there. And then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to come over this way, and I'm going to try and herd them to you. And you get up in the tree, and you get ready, and when they come by, you hit them a second time. Because you missed the mark the first time. Don't miss this next time. So he sent me there, and about another 45 minutes or hour go by, and he comes up to me and he said, it didn't work. I tried to push him your way, but they went another way. He said, let's get on the trail, and let's start tracking them again. So he gets that gun out again. And again, through my mind, I'm thinking, I have a bow and arrow, and he has a pistol, and I'm leading us through this. This just does not make too much sense. So anyway, we track and track, and we actually catch up to them, and they stay about 100 yards in front of them, in front of us. And they just keep out in front of us and just out of range. Has that ever happened to you, deer hunting? Has anyone here ever seen that white flag all day long, just 100 yards out, just a little bit out of range? Well, that's what I kind of felt like. And we're getting later and later on in the day tracking this wounded animal. And then the herd goes this way, and this one pig goes off this way. This wild boar goes off this way. And he goes along this main trail and goes out beyond this thicket and then starts going along a huge open field. And we came along, and at this point, we're only about 50 yards away from him because he went way out this way and then over this way. He was about 50 yards away on this really thick thicket. And, you know, I'm going quietly, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden behind me, this guy, he starts just yelling and screaming and jumping up and down, making all this noise. And I'm like, what in the world are you doing? He said, you see that pig? He says, he's up to here with you and me. He said, this is it. He's coming after us now. I look at my bow and I look at him and I said, you're kidding, right? He said, no. And he said, here, come on up here and you stand here. You stand right here and that pig's coming. He said, just in a couple minutes, you're going to see him. And sure enough, this pig, I mean, I'm standing here and he's only about 15 yards away from me. I'm standing right here. He came to the edge of that thicket and all I see are these tusks and this pig. And I mean, he's just got these eyes glaring at us. And I'm standing here like this. The guy with the gun is standing behind me and he's saying, you got one shot. I'm telling you, you got one shot and you better get up a tree or I'll be taking you to the hospital. You got one shot. This guy is going to try and kill us. It's either we kill him or he's going to kill us. Now, he knew he wouldn't kill us. I mean, he's not. But hospital, probably stitches, probably he said, you shoot that thing, you drop that bow, and you get up a tree as fast as you can, and I'm going to unload this .44 in him. And then I'll be following you up the tree. So here I am, I'm standing there, that boar's only, I am at a full draw now, and I'm just waiting, he's whispering, make sure you hit him right, don't miss. Make sure you get only one shot. And I'm like, would you please just shut up? You know, and you guys who have had a bow before, I mean, my arms are like, I mean, I'm starting to get tired. I'm at full draw, and this pig is just snorting and growling. And I mean, you can see his tusks. He's got like 4-inch tusks coming out, and he's, and then all of a sudden, it wasn't all of a sudden, it seemed like eternity. He bolted straight out. And I was so focused. I'm telling you, I was so focused on that deer. I mean, I was at a full draw. And as soon as he came out, I let go. And you know, when you're in that in tune, I could see my knock. Any archery hunters, you can see your knock going through the air. And in my mind, I'm like, I've got you. I can see my arrow going straight down. I can see my arrow going straight for him. And I'm like, I have got you. And then he went down low like this. He went down low and then around. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I missed the mark. It seemed, you know, only seconds went by. But time stood still. I missed the mark. You know, that's the biblical definition of what sin is. It's an archery term. To sin is to miss the mark. Some of us here tonight are missing the mark. We're drawing back and we're shooting at our relationship with our spouses. And we've got this deep inner gut feeling because we know we're missing the mark. Some of us here are drawing back and shooting and the relationship that we have with our children. And we're missing the mark and we know it. And we don't know what to do about it. Some of us are drawing back and trying to have a relationship with God and we're just missing the mark. And we know it. And you know what the enemy does with that? He just jumps on that and, you know, you're a loser. There's no hope for you. God's never going to forgive you again. You should just give up. That's what the enemy does. See, I believe that there are some of us here tonight that we're almost tired to pull back again because we know that why even try? Because all I do is miss the mark. That's why Jesus came. That's why our brother Jesus came. He knew that we were going to miss the mark. That we would sin. He knew that the penalty of sin was death. My life was in danger, literally in danger there. Our lives spiritually have been in danger. Because the wage of sin is death, the Bible says. But Jesus Christ, our brother, came and died in our place. And the Bible says that whosoever turns to Him, whoever will call upon Him. Jesus said, if you are weak and labor and heavy laden, if you're burned out, He said, come to Me. Because I will give you rest. Is there someone here tonight that you've been missing the mark and you don't know what to do? This bow was given to me. This is a precious bow to me. The guy that owned this bow, his name was Fred. He said he only gave 50 cents for this. He was driving out west and there was this little Indian on the side of the road selling bows. And he said this little skinny Indian, he would string it up and he took it and he just pulled it. And he said, I'll take one of those. And, you know, he said, well, how much you want? A buck. He said, it's not worth a buck. You know, typical. Started walking around. Oh, well, what will you give me? He said, I'll give you 50 cents for a bow. And so he said, well, you picked me out a good one. This skinny little Indian took this thing out, pulled it back and forth, you know, like a piece of cake. And said, here, this will be a good one for you. Gave him 50 cents, took it home. He got it home. He couldn't even string it. He couldn't even pull it back. He whittled and whittled and whittled away. Until he finally got it to a place where he can put it back. I met Fred when he was in his 70s in the hospital. Fred had about given up. Fred thought that God had given up on him. Fred thought that he was so lost and so far gone that God didn't care about him, and that he had lived such a sinful life. He was a trucker. Fred was a trucker. He said, I've lived such a sinful life. God's not interested in me. And I said, Fred, oh, Jesus loves you so much. And I shared the plan of salvation with Fred that day in the hospital. And he prayed to receive Jesus Christ. And he became a new creation in Christ. God spared him that day. And he lived about 10 more years into his 80s. And he knew that I liked archery. And Fred said just before he went home to meet the Lord, he said, PJ, I want you to have this bow. No one else will care about this bow, but for you, you love bows and you'll appreciate this bow. Because it's a genuine Indian bow. Thank you for sharing who Jesus Christ, who he is, with my life. For now I know that I'll spend eternity with him, and there's hope for me. See, tonight you may think that there's no hope for you. This bow belonged to a man that thought there was no hope. He was too far gone. He was a lost cause. You see, the enemy had shot so many arrows into Fred's heart, so many lying, deceiving arrows, that he was hopeless. And there's no one hopeless. There is no one. Jesus came and died on the cross for every one of us. There's not a person here that's not shot and missed the mark. All of us have. That day when I was there and I said, oh no, I missed the mark. Oh no, I missed the mark. I believe with all my heart that Jesus was standing with me right there when I shot. And Jesus took that arrow and caused it to ride high. And it hit that boar in the spine. That boar, when that arrow hit, I'm saying, oh no, where's a tree? When that arrow hit that boar, it squealed and lunged straight up in the air and dropped down dead. And the guide behind me said, what a shot! I have never seen anyone take down a big boar like that with only two shots. It can't be done. What a shot! Way to go, preacher! The preacher killed Satan! And in my mind, I knew I missed. But Jesus didn't. Jesus didn't. You see, he was with me. He guided that arrow to right where it needed to be. See, Jesus never misses the mark. He never did. He never will. And he's here tonight. He's here tonight for someone here who there. I've just tried so many times and I keep missing the mark and I don't know what to do. I can tell you what I do. I turn to Jesus. It was the most important decision I ever made. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. Some of you may have done that long ago and you've been going off on your own. And you need to come back and say, Jesus, please forgive me. Please come back and take control of my life again. I'm tired of missing the mark. I've messed up so many relationships and so many things. I'm just tired and I need you, Jesus. I need you to come. I need you to take control. Jesus is here right now. If you're here and you've been missing the mark, Jesus is only a prayer away. We're not going to sing any songs. We're not going to have any fancy invitations. I'm just going to ask you, I'm going to pray in a moment. I'm just going to ask you, if you need Jesus, whether you need to pray and ask Jesus to come and be the Lord of your life and be your Savior, just like Fred did long ago. There were so many people that thought, you know, actually when I went back to the church and said that Fred prayed to receive Christ, there were so many people that said, man, I thought that's the last person in the world that would ever pray to receive Christ. He is the last person. You may be thinking that right now Satan might be whispering in your ear, you're the last person. This isn't for you. You can't be saved. That's a lie. That's a lie. If you're here and you need Jesus in your life, I'm going to ask you to just come and pray at the altar. No music, no fancy things. Just to come and pray. You may be here tonight and you've already prayed to receive Christ, but you've been taking things into your own hands. And none of us are good gods. Anyone here a good God? None of us make a good God. We all miss the mark. There's only one person that makes a great God in our lives, and that's Jesus sitting on the throne. If you're here tonight and you just need to come and say, Lord, I want to recommit myself to you. I want you to take control of my life. I want you to come. And all we're going to do is come and pray with you. And ask Jesus to meet you where you are. I'm going to pray, and then I'm just going to have a time of silence. And if you feel God tugging at your heart, if your heart is pounding right now, if you sensed Him whispering to you, please, just come. And there'll be men that will come and pray with you. Let's commit ourselves to the one who never misses and who loves us with an everlasting love. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I am so thankful for the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Lord, I know that so many times I have taken control and I've shot and missed the mark and shot and missed the mark and shot and missed the mark, whether it's in relationships, in marriage, with children, with neighbors, with friends, with people at work, life in general, we miss the mark. Father, I know that there are some here who need to turn their lives over to you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to them right now and that you would simply draw them unto yourself. Speak to us and work among us. If the Lord is speaking to you right now, I would ask you to simply come. Come and kneel and pray.
we're just going to wait for a moment. If the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you, come. Come. Father, I thank you for my brothers who have gathered in this place. I ask that you would continue to draw each one of us into a deeper and deeper intimacy with you. Lord, if there is even one here who does not know you, I pray that you would help them to ask a friend to speak to the person that invited them, or to speak to an elder or to a pastor or to me. Father, please draw them unto yourself. Father, I praise you that you walk beside us and with us. I praise you that you never miss. You're always perfect. You're always watching out for us. You're always acting in our best interest. You're always intervening, even in the very difficult, deep waters of life. I thank you for that. Holy Spirit, here and now, we ask that you would come freshly upon each one of us. Fill us. May we be being filled moment by moment. And as you come and fill us, please crucify self in us. And allow the Lord Jesus Christ to rule and reign in our hearts. Lord Jesus, make those words of Paul a present reality. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I live, but Christ liveth in me. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Father, I ask that we would be being filled and Jesus would rule and reign in our hearts. Draw each of us into a deeper and deeper intimacy with you. And Dad in heaven, as we leave this place, I ask that you would loose angels to watch over my brothers, guard and protect them in the name of Jesus. Bless them and grace them with grace. And I ask that you would form Christ in us and that you would draw each of us to Jesus. May only your perfect will be done, and may your kingdom come. And all God's sons said, Amen. My brothers, may we go in peace.